Okay. You're designed to take in and to give out. That's why coming together on the weekends and coming together in small groups and coming together in other forms outside of that is really healthy for you. Because at some point, it's going to be easy for you to find someone else who hasn't had the spiritual experiences that you have had. All you need to do is to find someone where you are one step ahead of them spiritually for you to give out. Are you hearing me this morning? You are designed to take in and to give out. And if you find yourselves through this series of the last number of weeks as we have discussed who Jesus is and what Jesus means, if you find yourself not hungering for more, if you find yourself not hungering for more prayer, for more worship, for more Bible, I propose you are spiritually sick. Now, please don't misunderstand. I propose that with great compassion for you. I have been there before. I know what it's like. It happens to me periodically. I have to learn disciplines. Pastor, you're cursing on a Sunday. I have to learn disciplines of ways of wrangling my flesh to come back to a place of wonder at the sight of Jesus. To come back to a place where I hunger for Jesus. And what I find is that when I am giving out to others, it is easier for me to be hungry for more of God. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So you're a little intense. Is he always like this? Sometimes. Okay, so let's just stop. Just for fun, I want to ask you a question. What is the best thing that someone has ever done for you? Okay, you can. We all were birthed by a mother, and that was the best thing. And if you're here and you're married, you know, she said, I do, and that was the best thing. But after that, anyone willing to throw something out? What is the best thing that someone has done for you? Toy?
One of the best things was to hire me.
Ah, yeah, a job. Well, I know that feeling. Feeling like I got a job that was better than I had before. Someone took a chance on me. Yeah, that's a good one. Somebody else? Brittany?
Somebody told it to me straight and shot down my world of imagination. But
didn't Somebody cut you straight. Yeah, that's good. Truth. Nate?
Someone used some connections to get me on a political campaign, which ended up opening up other doors for other opportunities through that.
Good. Good. Opportunities? Someone else?
I'm going to say, and this may sound a little, not in the sense that it was like something that's already been said, but I think if I look back and I think of that Romans 8:28, all things work for good, even though whatever happens may not be good in itself, but it works for good.
Mm.
Verbally, a lot of verbal abuse, and I knew it wasn't right, and this was supposed to be a man of God, and I went through a lot of pains going through this to separate and come out of that to be healthy, and he did not work, and because he did not work, it made me come out of my comfort zone.
Mm. Mm.
And I mean, I never got in a car. And now I look at this and I laugh because just for me to, I would go like maybe here, drive to Ocean City. I knew all around Baltimore, but I never left Baltimore. And when my girlfriend said she moved to Pennsylvania, I said, I've never been up driven to Pennsylvania. I only have a drive up there. And she said, do you want me to come get you and show you? And I said, yes, I do. And she came, and she lived back in New Park, and there were a lot of back roads and all. But me and I got that down, and I was able to go up back and forth from there, and it just allowed me to start. start stepping out in other ways to just make my borders a lot more. And it's like I've been almost to each corner of the U.S. now. I drive by myself anywhere, everywhere. And it's just a lot of things that I've just been open to God saying, don't put your peg in too deep anywhere.
Hmm.
And I'm learning that to let go of things because I tended to hold on to either relationships or didn't want to totally let them go or something. And God's saying, you got to let go of the old to see what I have for me.
That's good. Such a great perspective that even something bad that... Yeah, even something bad really turned out good for you.
Yeah, I ended up with a degree going back to school.
Wow.
I worked. I bought my own car. You know, I had debt that I was left in, $11,000 worth, which I had to pay off myself and just deal with my children. And it was overwhelming at the time, but I went through it.
Yeah. God can work out some amazing good. I know that as a college student, I was laid off once on Christmas Eve in between semesters, you know, and not knowing how to pay. But that turned out to be the best thing for me. I got the best job immediately after that, that I would not have been looking for if it were not for, you know, getting laid off that way. Sometimes those bad things can turn out really good. You know, over this series, we've been hearing a lot about God's love revealed to us through the person of Jesus, right? The Son of God, 100% God, 100% man. We've been reading about it. We've been talking about it a lot. We've looked at a bunch of different ways that Jesus is God's love to us. He is God's mercy to us. And what we've come to, for those of you that haven't been here, is a place of realizing that the best way to respond to Jesus, God's love revealed to us, is to confess our sin and confess our faith in Him. Right? To come to what Jesus called repentance, to really turn around, turn away from our past, right, mistakes, and to turn to Him and to follow Him. We've talked about that quite a bit. And I think that it's really beneficial to us. And what comes out of that is you come to a place of gratitude, right? Which is one of the things that we just heard about from those stories, is a real gratitude for what Jesus has done for us. Amen? Amen. You come to a place of deep gratitude and you want to respond. And so in the remaining moments that we're going to have in the scripture here, we're going to talk primarily about your response, okay? So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to talk about Jesus is worthy of praise. Jesus is worthy of praise. Ephesians chapter 1, that's on the right-hand side of your Bible there. It's after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. I always remember Gepsi, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. They're all kind of grouped together there. If you have one of these new thin Bibles, it can be kind of hard to find. Ephesians chapter 1. And what I'd like to do today is to read the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1. And today I'm going to read from the New Living. So is everyone there?
Yes.
Great. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So, we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who are the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. Now, we talked about a couple of these passages briefly last week, and so I just want to recap that real quick, focusing on verse 7 there. He purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. You may have it in the New King James. In him we have redemption, that key word that we focused on last week, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You also see on the screen there from the Message paraphrase, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross. We're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. So we've talked a little bit about what is it that Jesus saved us from and what is it that he saved us to, right? I keep referring to that passage from Hebrews. How then shall they overcome if they ignore so great a salvation? A lot of times your spiritual sickness that we talked about earlier can set in when you're not focused enough on your salvation and what that means. Right? Because if I understand that God forgave me of my sin, and now I have eternity in heaven, honestly, some of this stuff on this earth doesn't stress you out the same way. Because if God could do that, hello? Right? So what did God save us from? Through Jesus, God saved us from slavery. We understand the wages of sin is death. There is a, before you come to conversion in Christ, there is a compulsion. You are in slavery to sin, to mistakes, to not doing the right thing, and to doing the wrong thing. Those sins of omission and sins of commission. It's a compulsion. You don't know any other way because you're spiritually blind. And you might be here this morning, you've spent a lot of time in church, around the Bible, people have called you a Christian, but you are an unbelieving believer. You have not yet really come to a true conversion experience. When you come to a true conversion experience, you are changed. You are different. Your spiritual reality is different. You are no longer spiritually blind. You are no longer compelled in slavery to sin, those mistakes, which leads to death in your spirit and ultimately leads to death in your body. Right? In weeks past, we talked about how in Genesis we see clearly we were originally created to be able to live forever in the flesh. But when sin came into the equation, that's where death came into the equation. Right? We talk about how a Bible concept of death is separation. Right? My spirit will be separated from my body, and that ultimately leads to hell, and that's what Jesus tasted on the cross when the sins of the world were put on him. He was made separated from the Father. Right? Father God, right. Totally holy. This is a little theology 101 for you today, okay? Totally holy, could not be one with sin. So for the very first time, Jesus, God the Son, was made separated from him, and that was the agony. See, if you are considering, do I choose heaven or choose hell? Don't think about snakes biting you and fire, right? What is so bad about hell is that you would be eternally separated from God, who is the only true source of love, hope, peace, and joy. Now, Jesus talked about hell more than he talked about any other subject. Why? He doesn't want you to go there. Right? That's what we are saved from. Now, we are saved to and for a purpose, as Paul is writing here to the believers in Ephesus. We are saved to freedom. Right? Now, I can still choose to mess up. Hello? So I'm sure that I've done that this week. Right? I have a freedom. I can choose to do right or choose to do wrong. But before I came to Christ, I really didn't have a choice. Because you are already born into sin. Right? But I'm saved from that, so now I have real freedom. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Right? Now, I have freedom, which means I have life. Life is the opposite of death. Death is separation. Life is unity. Right? I am one with God. Now, nothing separates me, Romans 8:28, from the love of God. The only source of love, hope, peace, and joy, I can be one with God, and that is also a little taste of heaven while I am here on earth. Today, when we sing this morning, right, the Bible makes it clear that God inhabits the praises of His people. God the Holy Spirit will be with us, what we would call manifest presence, right? He is with us when we sing His praises. That is where we taste a little bit of heaven on earth. And ultimately, when we experience heaven, you got to understand it's not about you getting gold. It's not about you getting to decorate your grill, right? Walking on gold. That's not what it's about. Right? It's that now there will be nothing that will separate me from the living God, the only source of love, hope, peace, and joy. Now that's worth getting excited about. But we've got to understand that before we can go anywhere else. We've got to be grounded in that. If you want to have a good sense of your salvation and what it means, you got to go back to Genesis 1 like we just did. You've got to understand what Jesus was talking about in John 3, which we just did. You've got to understand that your debt was paid. This is where we've been focused this past month. If you've missed any of the Sundays this past month, you can go to our website, you can go to iTunes, you can listen to them. This is good stuff. This is Bible. This is not me, my opinion. I don't come to church to hear the opinions of someone else. I never have and I never will. You shouldn't either, right? You should get in your Bible and see what God is saying to you. Amen, Pastor Ben. That's good. That's good stuff, right? That's what we are saved from. Now, let's go to the verse right before that. Hello. Okay, Ephesians 1:6. So, we praise God for the glorious grace He's poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. Who do we belong to? Jesus. Boy, that was a tough one. All right. So, we praise God for the glorious grace He's poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. That's Ephesians 1:14. That's why He did this. So that we would have the freedom, right, to praise Him. Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Amen. Then speak out. Amen. Right? We are called, we have this great gift, so that we can speak of His goodness. Too much Bible and theology for you this morning. Some of you are looking at me like cattle looking at a new gate. All right, listen, there is a purpose. You should be able to speak, to tell someone else in this room of His goodness. That's a part of why we break up our service time and we do different activities. Like y'all do weird stuff and you won't do that when you get bigger. No, we do stuff different on purpose because the Bible is clear. We should talk to each other and express where God is good. Has God been good to you?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Speak out, right? And sing the song of the redeemed. You referred to it last week. The angels cannot do something you can do, and that is to sing the song of the redeemed. I have known what it was to be broken. I have known what it was to be guilty. I have known what it was to be worthy of death and hell. And yet God, in His great grace, reached out to me, Ben, right? He reached out to me, made it possible for me to say, God, I am a sorry sack of bones. I have messed up. I'm full of mistakes. I am guilty. I need you. God enabled me to say those words. God enabled me to confess where I had made mistakes, to confess faith that He is able to forgive me, to restore me, to give me life. God gave me that ability. And so even though this music stuff is not, definitely not my number one thing, I love to do it because I have been forgiven. Because I know what it's like to stand in church pounding on the seat in front of you saying, I am clean, I am forgiven, trying to convince yourself. I know what that feels like because I know what it means to be forgiven because I've made mistakes. And so this, Jesus is worthy of praise. So in Ephesians 1, my response is to speak of His goodness. And that's why sometimes I'm socially awkward. There are times where I'm just going to blurt out, God has been good to me. Because I'm sorry, sometimes when I'm talking to you, I'm distracted by the fact that I can't believe I'm here today. Because I was a mess. I know what it is to be forgiven. And I see in the scripture that I am compelled to talk about it. And guess what? It's not pastors. No, that's everybody. You showing up here doesn't check it off the list for you. I wasn't forgiven of your sins. You were. Am I the only person in this room? I wasn't the one forgiven of your sins. You were. I can't speak of God's goodness to you, for you. That's why, as we heard earlier today, the rocks will cry out. Well, I will tell you, there will be no rocks crying out in my house. Right? These go to 11. Only I can sing the song of the redeemed for me. I don't want any angels weeping on my behalf because my song of redemption isn't getting sung. Now, I know we are this weird baby church in a movie theater. And I know that the music is kind of difficult. But you know what? We do the best we can because we want to help you release the song of the redeemed for you. We choose the songs that we sing here very carefully to make sure that every week we have songs about redemption. There's a reason for that. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm a little too excited. So I want you to consider taking time today to say this to someone else. I want you to hold each other accountable. Please don't elbow the person you're sitting next to. I want you to start a sentence with these words. I know that Jesus is good because, and only you can fill in the blanks. Are you breathing?
Yeah.
I know that Jesus is good because... See, now, here I am.
No, I'm serious.
you're not the only one. Listen, I'm sitting here, and if you call me your pastor, I'm telling you that today is a good day to do this.
That's right. That's good.
You're not going to have a better day than today to do this. You should say this when you're up. You should say this when you're down. I know that Jesus is good because, right? Now, just real quick, in closing, when you praise God, You are like a child pointing up. Right? You are saying, you are declaring the goodness of God and what the goodness of God means. See, saying I praise God is not good enough. All that is saying that I'm about to say something good about God. That's all that that means. So, you know, praise you, Jesus. Not a lot of meaning there. I'm sorry. What it really means is I'm about to say something good about him. I was standing at the bus stop waiting to come home from jury duty, and I heard a lady say that on her cell phone, and then she followed it by taking the Lord's name in vain right after that. Now, listen, I praise you, Jesus, because you have done this, because you are, right? You are, because you are who you say you are. Because you do what you say you're going to do. Because you have went to the cross for me. Speak of his goodness with words that have meaning. Right? Now, when we do this, when we point to it and you see the image on the right there, we are getting a picture of who God really is and who we really are. Hello? Right? Now, listen, real quick, there's a few things that happen when you do this. Oh, yeah, let's go ahead and read this. I want to read this passage. This is Romans chapter 12, the first three verses from the Message paraphrase. I'd like for you to just listen to this just real quickly, and then we'll close with a couple of points. I just like the way this has been reworded by Eugene Peterson. So Paul writes to the believers that are in Rome. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Now, in your typical translations, you get so hung up with be transformed, the renewing of your mind, all this, you get lost on the main point. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-informed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No. God brings it all to you. Sorry. God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand yourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. I want to focus on that again, just for a second. The only, and this is so important because this is a byproduct of when you praise God. By that, what I mean is, in church, by yourself, you sing praise to God, you speak praise to God. This is the byproduct. This is what happens as a result. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. You see, my insecurity fades when I realize that God, the Creator of the world, sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross for me because I am His child and He loves me. If I am focused on God, I spend less time looking in the mirror. When I do look in the mirror, what I see is different. Hello? Yep. When we sing praise, here's what happens. Number one, you are releasing your gratitude. Okay? Principle of the seas. If you keep your gratitude bottled up all the time, you're going to get sick. Yeah. Right? It releases your gratitude. Now, second, it brings a cleansing to your soul. You're going to, as a byproduct, have worry, have fear, have insecurity, have confusion that are going to be washed away as you give praise to God. Now, this is both speaking of His goodness and singing the song of the redeemed. Are you with me? There's a cleansing. Now, obviously, we're not talking about salvation, the forgiveness of God. That is before this. Third, it strengthens us. You have a, when you are cognizant of the fact that I'm like a baby pointing up to Father God, I am strengthened by the fact that I am not taking on life by myself. Hello? You're not alone. You don't have to do this alone. It strengthens us and it properly adjusts our perspective. It helps us remember who God is and who we are. Right? If God is the God who created the world and brought redemption to the world, my problems, not a big deal. Hello? God's not the one who brings a spirit of fear. No, He brings us perfect love, the result of which is a sound mind. Hello? It releases your gratitude, it cleanses your soul, it strengthens you and adjusts your perspective. So my encouragement to you today is this. We're going to worship right now. And when we do, I want you to sing to the best of your ability with the same volume you speak with at least. If He's the living God, you should get louder than a Ravens game. Or whatever it is that you do. Hello? You got to sing with the same. Some of you need to watch the movie Elf all over again. I'm singing and I'm singing, right? You need a release. You need Lighten Up Ministries. You need someone to hug you to the point where they lift you off the ground, shake you a little bit so you laugh and you realize life is kind of short to be that wound up. Hello? Amen. We shouldn't be wound that tight. If we worship and we bring praise to God, here's the amazing. And this, we come into an understanding of what the sacrifice of praise is. See, God knew something. He understood something. God doesn't want your praise for His own benefit. Let me say it quiet for those of you that like me to be quiet. God doesn't want your praise for His own benefit. See, God in His great wisdom knew when He created us that if we would worship Him, it would benefit us. Do you understand? It benefits you more than it benefits Him. Now, He loves it, right? Don't make a mistake. He loves it when we worship Him. Right. Jesus spoke of how amazing it would be that people would believe in Him, the ones that did not see Him in the flesh. And He spoke of a day when they would worship in spirit and in truth, with all ethnicities in the same place, where we didn't have to go to one mountain to worship, but we would worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus longed for this day. It is precious to Him, but He knew when He created us, it would benefit us more than it benefits Him. We could spend another 45 minutes just talking about the sacrifice of praise, which means I speak or I sing praise to God when I don't feel like it. Right. Now, here's the amazing side effect. If you can learn the sacrifice of praise, you will have a much easier time at not living by your feelings. Well, that's got to get said again. When you learn the sacrifice of praise, the byproduct will be you will not be living by your feelings. Are you here this morning and you're tired of making bad decisions because you're ticked off? Not going to work, having another sick day because you're afraid, stressed out? Breaking off relationships because you were hurt, because you're bitter, because you're carrying a root of bitterness? Are you tired of the negative results of living by your feelings? Well, guess what? The results are not reciting some self-help book to fix that relationship, taking some Cosmo quiz. The solution is something entirely, you might think, is disconnected. The solution is learning the sacrifice of praise. When I praise God, even when I don't feel like it, I learn how to not live by my feelings. Amen? Amen. What I'd like you to, we're going to worship now. Does that seem appropriate?
Yes.
We don't have as much time as originally planned. So here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to stand and tell someone else, speak of the goodness of God. Right now.